I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Here we go, hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Zach Wolchuk's triumphant return to the studio with his mixed bag. Here's Zach.
Let's do it. Let's go ahead and shake it up. And hey, you never know what we're going to cover in the mixed bag right now.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the glass.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag. You never know what you're going to get.
Thanks for holding it down, fellas. Awesome experience always out there at Cosm. And tonight's actually a great opportunity. If you're driving around listening, you're like, man, I'd kind of like to watch the MLB All-Star Game. Plenty of tickets available for tonight's All-Star Game at Cosm. I think you can get in for as low as $17, and that's not general admission. That is to be able to get in and sit with the dome seats. So
$17?
$17. I would jump on that if I were you, because it is truly an unbelievable experience for whatever sport they're going to be showing. So get in on that. Of course, they got Argentina tomorrow taking on England, and then on Sunday I'll be back out there for the final, Spain versus whoever wins tomorrow. And gosh, I think FIFA's probably just in heaven. You know, if it's Messi versus Spain, or if it's England versus Spain, England thinking, my gosh, it's coming home. How amazing. I mean, what an incredible World Cup. I was listening to you guys driving over. I mean, I think that Dallas Stadium and just everybody here, our buddy Joe Trahan, who was a part of it.
Joe too.
I mean, I think, and obviously biased, right? But, I mean, being able to kind of see what it was like inside the stadium, having not been able to go to a match, because that's what you're able to get with Cosm. It's like you're there. It was unbelievable. Just everything that they had done, the pageantry, the way that they had looked, the pitch, the natural grass. Just an incredible job by everybody involved.
Let me ask you guys this, the soccer experts. Is the winner of the England-Argentina match your favorite to win the whole thing?
Not me, no. I think what Spain did to France today.
I thought France was the best team in the tournament up until now. And the fact that Spain just handled them so easily defensively, Spain allowing one goal the entire tournament, six shutouts, which is a World Cup record. Their goaltender is unbelievable. Lamine Yamal, you can tell just how much of a force. Him and Mbappe with some great 1v1 plays and some amazing tackles. Spain is just a wall that looks like they cannot be defeated right now. So it's going to be a tough task. But I think I'd have to take Spain. But it's been one of these up and down roller coaster World Cups where I'd kind of probably pull for either Messi to go back-to-back or England to finally get off the schneid. They haven't won since, what, 66? I think that'd be a great story. Spain won in 2010. But if I had to pick a winner, it would be Spain versus either of them.
I can't help but root for Messi as much as I would like to see England win it. You know, I think whoever wins, I'll be rooting for them against Spain. But what Spain did today was so damn impressive.
It was unreal.
France couldn't really even set up their offense.
Could not at all.
It's crazy.
Could not at all.
I mean, Mbappe, you could see just the look on his face. He was like, what is going on right now? And they tried, but they should just get no open shooting lanes. It was crazy. Let's talk some college football, shall we? And we go to our buddy Dane Brugler on The Athletic. He has the 2027 NFL Draft preseason positional rankings, and he's going to go position by position. First up, wide receiver for the 2027 NFL draft class. You guys want to take a wild guess at who might be number one on the list?
Jeremiah Smith.
Ding, 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 ding. It is Jeremiah Smith, the 6'3", 225-pound wideout from Ohio State. Best trait, says Dane?
Everything.
Yes,
really?
Almost everything.
Oh,
was
okay.
Literally what he said. Smith is the total package, and the different ways in which he can win are what makes him special. Rare explosiveness for his size. Defeats the jam with power to discard press attempts. Corners playing off coverage don't have much luck either because of Smith's acceleration to quickly build speed, set up his stem, and then separate vertically. Using his talent nuance, he destroys man coverage and then will pick apart zone. He's amazing on third down. Red zone reps, he's incredible. He's unfazed by the contact from corners. He can extend away from his frame to snatch the ball at the highest point. There's really not a huge weakness in his game. The one area that he says that he needs to improve, loosening some routes. Though there aren't any concerning weaknesses in his game, no prospect is perfect. At times, he can get too physical mid-route. He can overpower stiff-arm tacklers, but isn't a make-you-miss ball carrier. And there are some routes of his that require a little extra polish. So Dane will admit he's nitpicking a little bit, but that guy is just an absolute star, and Ohio State's got a good one.
I love knowing that Dane's already dialed into this.
Oh, he's dialed in. He's dialed in. Now, number two, Texas fans, get excited. It's Cam Coleman, the outstanding transfer portal addition from Auburn at 6'3", 210. His best trait, graceful, big man athleticism. What makes Cam Coleman unique is that he has the foot quickness and athleticism of a smaller athlete, but also the size and stretched out frame to dunk on DBs. He's got long strides. He can win off the line. He quickly accelerates to create vertical separation, and he can track the ball well. He is particularly effective on double moves, using his movements and speed to roast corners. He recommends you go back and watch that 2025 OU game. Thinks he looks outstanding, could be a potential top 12 pick.
Yeah, him and Arch together are going to be pretty nasty this year.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Then you got the Indiana kids, Charlie Becker, who I've seen a lot of early mocks going to the Cowboys. Now, look, those you can pick up, throw away if you're just a draft junkie like some of us are and you're kind of peeking at those. Becker, 6'3", 207. And then at number four, it's Nick Marsh, his teammate, 6'3", 213. But the one thing from these four, just when you look at the size, even at Clemson's Bryant Wesco Jr., 6'2", 190. Brian, for us who have studied the draft the last few years, Gavin, you as well, these are all 6'2 plus receivers.
Yeah.
And that's a little different to what we've been accustomed to with a lot of 5'11, 6', kind of smaller, shifty guys. So you're going to actually get kind of your old school, it kind of fits your eye, like that old school X, but these guys that are also really fast, can win downfield, maybe have some suddenness and twitchiness to their game, but the old school big, athletic, strong, physical wide receiver seems like it's coming back in this 2027 draft class. So the Cowboys move on from a George Pickens, and they might be looking at one. Seems like they could be in good hands this year with a really, really nice upcoming 2027 wide receiver group.
Is there any receivers that are just 6 foot tall?
Evan Stewart from Oregon, who's a local kid out of Frisco, 5'11", 171.
We studied him, and then he went back, right?
Yes. And he's a guy that he's bounced around quite a bit. He was at Texas A&M, that he transferred to Oregon. A lot of it's questions of want to. Like, he's kind of his own worst enemy, but he could have a big year at Oregon. Eric Singleton Jr. from Florida, Dane also lists as 5'9", 187, another little tiny guy. But those are kind of your small players, if you want to look at. Now, Herman, former Texas Longhorn coach, has got a new gig. He's going to be at Florida State. Yep. Man. He's going to Florida State. He's going to be a support staff role. Just a big tumble for one Tom Herman. And the EA Sports video game is out. I've already seen people that are streaming this. They're like, hey, can I win a natty with Kent State? Or they pick some obscure random team. And they're like, how many hours does it take me to go ahead and win a national championship? Well, they went ahead and ranked the toughest stadiums to play. And the number one stadium when it comes to toughest environments in the EA Sports game is Tiger Stadium at LSU, followed by Ohio Stadium and Ohio State, Beaver Stadium at Penn State, Sanford Stadium in Georgia, and then Bryant-Denny in Alabama. A&M is your only Texas stadium listed in the top 10. Kyle Field comes in at 10, and then DKR, home of the Longhorns, comes in at number 13. So that's how they rank their top 25 toughest places to play. But Baton Rouge, still number one, Brian.
Yeah, well, they need to
win some games there.
I hope, yeah. Let's see them win some games, yeah.
Are you a screamer when you're at those games?
Not really. I'm a big observer. I like to, like, cross my arms and observe.
You sit in silence.
I suffer. I just
she suffered. She just melts away.
Yeah, I suffer during these games. It's crazy.
You don't get tailgating boy?
No, I don't. I think it's hard to get into that stadium when you're drunk, you know?
It's hard to get in?
Yeah, it's hard to, like, walk around, and yeah, it's kind of a hard deal. How about if I read you something real quick?
Yeah, please.
We have a minute for this one. Overall, this guy has dominant receiving traits and can win from anywhere on the field because of his athletic gifts, route savvy, adjustment, finishing skills, the catch point. He's among the best receiving prospects to enter the NFL in recent memory, and he has all the dedication to his craft to a playmaking number one NFL receiver and future All-Pro. Who did I just read?
And it's somebody in this year's draft?
This is a former wide receiver.
Malik Nabers.
No. Marvin Harrison Jr.
All right, fellow Ohio State player.
But see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know who wrote that?
You.
Dame Brugler.
Oh, nice job, Brian.
Wow.
I was wondering.
Very similar.
Yeah.
See, that's where
Jeremiah Smith.
That's where, I mean, to me, this is the danger of talking about these guys right now. And I don't mean that as a slam.
Oh,
we're trying to do content.
We're trying to do
5 hours of radio.
Fresh list, boom.
Yeah, we're in July.
Like here in college football.
We're trying to get to training camp, three
season.
Live mics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But to me, this is where reports about guys start sounding a little bit of the same to me. You know?
Yeah.
Like
preseason.
That could have been, it's like Smith. You know? I just think that you kind of get this thing going and let him play. Let it play. We've all seen Smith as a player.
Yeah. For the last 2 years, he's been awesome.
But kind of the same kind of verbiage that you heard when Harrison.
And Harrison was also very similar. Stepped into the league and was awesome.
And we're all kind of looking at it like, well, why isn't Harrison done? And it might be because of the quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been underwhelming. He has not lived up to those expectations. And on the other, his class, Malik Nabers came out and was great. Unfortunately, he's been hurt. He had the catastrophic knee injury. And we'll see. Reports are he could miss the first 4 to 5 weeks of the upcoming season.
You know, just looking at it, though, Marvin Harrison Jr. in his junior year, his third year at Ohio State, 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns. Jeremiah Smith is a true freshman at Ohio State, 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, Jeremiah Smith has been next level from day one in a way that Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't quite. Like, his freshman year, he didn't really do anything. And then he took off his sophomore and junior year.
Yeah.
But, the best of Marvin Harrison Jr. is what Jeremiah Smith was doing as a true freshman.
Dominant receiving traits, can win from anywhere on the field. You know, athletic gifts, route savvy.
Yeah.
You know?
He's been underwhelming.
Well, the one that really stands out is maybe not the, the yak guy. And that's what Dane kind of noted, because I remember that from Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, he wasn't necessarily the guy when you got the ball in his hands, was he going to totally, make people miss the open field and get that yak? That wasn't really his thing. That was why if you wanted to maybe give Malik Nabers the nod over him, Nabers had that ability over Marvin Harrison Jr. in that class. Jeremiah Smith, I do think has some of that, but to Dane's point, he says maybe that's not quite his strength if we have to kind of like really poke holes at the guy. But that's interesting. Very similar in both out of the same school.
Yeah, I just kind of when you start to hear the verbiage about a guy, preseason, that's how Harrison was described,
He was super hyped.
Yeah, super hyped. By the way, the Fox baseball guys a little soft by not wearing their sport coats on set.
Well, it's probably super hot out there.
Then don't wear ties either. Just go with the golf shirts.
Golf shirted up.
Yeah. Just rock the polos.
Yeah.
Or just have the top button unbuttoned.
Golf shirted up.
I mean, the World Cup a couple of weeks ago when they were in Philadelphia for the quarterfinals or something, it looked like Alexi Lalas was about to have a heat stroke.
It did.
Yeah. The other two guys, the two European dudes, they were down to like T-shirts, basically.
Yeah.
God help us if Big Poppy raises his arms up, though. And I want to see
the drenched shirt. I want to see the Sean Miller, coaching.
Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl.
Get this man a towel.
By the way, real quick, are they stealing from NBC doing this stuff?
How so?
With Jameis Winston? Is he their version of Snoop at the Olympics?
Yeah, somewhat.
Are we stealing a bit?
Absolutely. It worked out with Snoop, and now I think that Jameis is kind of angling for his career after football. I think that he also did this for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was a correspondent, I want to say, for Barstool, maybe. I could have the outlet wrong. But Jameis is certainly
Jameis and what he's doing. I think it's fun bits with him running around and doing stuff like this.
But they're taking a page out of the book.
I wonder if they're stealing an idea from NBC with Snoop.
No doubt.
Well, if you're going to steal one, steal a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Kansy earlier was talking about, what's one animal or, insect, reptile that you're just no-go? This is just hell no. Get me away.
You're going to say spider.
Spiders, I'm like a pro spider killer. And sorry, PETA, but I get called. My wife will freak out. I'm like, all right, spiders don't bother me.
It's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't escape well.
I'm like, yeah. I don't get it. Like the spider, like, yes, there is gross aspects of it. Like the idea of sleeping and spiders just naturally crawl into your mouth and how many do we consume.
Ugh.
If we actually go down that rabbit hole, that is freaky and gross and weird. But snakes do it for me, man. I can't stand them. Snakes are my worst nightmare. Florida, and I think they've done this before. But they do this. There's a restaurant that does a Florida Python challenge where hunters compete for prizes to go ahead and kill these pythons that are out there.
Yeah, they're invasive in the Everglades there.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you gotta get them cleared out. There's too many pythons in there.
So there's this pizza place in Florida that's serving up free python pies to anyone who brings them a snake. Nearly 1,000 hunters have removed a grand total of 294 snakes. And NBC Miami has done an entire show about this where Dustin Crum, who's the owner of Wild Man's Pizza, Pasta, and Python, has invited participants to bring in pythons they catch in exchange for a free pizza that they won't have to pay for. He also will do this for iguanas and whatever. If you kill it, he'll bring it in and make you a pizza.
Pizza, python, and what? And pasta?
An iguana. Yeah, oh, the name's pizza, pasta,
that's
and python.
Allowed? You can do that? Like, I'm going to cook a reptile and have a pizza parlor at the same time.
Yeah, I guess in Florida, like, it would probably only work in Florida.
Dream big, man. Got to dream
sounds
big.
Sounds like a health code violation to me.
That sounds
disgusting.
Yeah. Python is a white, lean meat that tastes somewhat like a cross between chicken and fish or mild pork.
Everything that's crazy tastes like chicken.
It's tough.
Yeah, those are all lies, too, by the way.
Exactly. It is all lies.
I mean, would you eat that? I'm
like
not eating
rubber
snakes,
bands.
Man.
If I was hungry enough, for sure. You know?
Yeah, if you're starving,
they serve snake there.
But by choice.
I wouldn't even eat the pizza there.
Yeah, I would not be going to this place. Like, to me, that's negative advertising.
How about that kitchen is better, right?
Oh. Maybe no, you will go viral if there's a roach on your wall and somebody takes a photo of it. You tell me you got long snakes back there?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, bring me an iguana or a python. I'll cook it for you and put it on a pizza for free.
A little venom sauce.
I tell you what, though. You give me 2 pints of beer and you fry that up like some popcorn snake bites.
You are crazy.
But I might get talked into it.
As long as there's sour cream or cream cheese on it, you know, you're good.
All right, we got to run. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
We'll hit the expressway G-Bag of the Day coming up 5:30 LA Live. Snapshot of everything that's been breaking throughout your broadcast day coming up next.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Let's hit the expressway. We go commercial free to the top. It's brought to you by the on-time experts. Yeah, Jerry Jones booed at the World Cup game today where Spain beat France 2-0. The image of Jones was not shown in the Fox broadcast. At the time, Gianni Infantino was being showed, so it sounded like they were booing him, and they could boo him very well.
Sure.
As you know, the FIFA president's rarely a popular guy, but the broadcasters pointed out the boos were for Jones.
I saw, you could see it in Cosm. They show because you can see what's going on inside the stadium. So I look and I see Jerry's on the big screen, and I heard the boos, and I'm thinking, are they booing Jerry? And they were.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, a lot of Cowboys fans in the building apparently today taking in that World Cup action, Brian.
Yeah, I just man, Jerry's been a good host, right? I've been a good host. It's been a good tournament here, right?
Yeah, I think so. I was surprised. I was like, wait a second.
I'm surprised.
I don't think he was booed for his hosting skills.
What do you think, I wonder how many fans, France, how many
fans,
Spain.
It'd be a lot of Cowboy fans.
I wonder if because tickets became reasonable. You know, I mean, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
That like, all of a sudden, with the U.S. being out, that,
yeah.
Hey, if you want to just go one time and what was we say $1,500 to get in?
It was, yeah, it was $1,600 maybe.
Yeah, so if you said, hey, I can't afford all the other games, but I'm just going to go this one time. I wonder if a bunch of people from Dallas did show up and go to a soccer match.
Absolutely, could see it.
Boo them for that. Yeah.
Texans co-founder and senior chair Janice McNair has passed in Houston.
What?
At the age of 89. Yes, happened this afternoon. She became the Texans' principal owner when Bob passed away in 2018.
Her husband.
So played a pivotal role in bringing the team back to Houston, and apparently they'll be looking for a new leader. Mavs stuff is cooking out there in Summer League. The next Summer League matchup is Thursday at 3 o'clock, so we'll be giving you updates throughout the day. But maybe the top story is the Heat showing strong interest in Klay Thompson. Is this a thing?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. I saw from Jake Fisher, NBA insider, saying that the Heat would really only be interested if he ends up getting bought out.
Okay.
And Mark Stein doesn't foresee that taking place.
That's not going to happen.
I was going to say, I don't know how much just the shooter has value. Like, the last time Pat Riley built a contender, they wanted Ray Allen. And they had, was it Wes Person, one of the Persons? I mean, they had multiple guys whose only job was to stand out there and shoot threes, and it didn't matter if they were bad defensively. I think that matters more today than ever. So I think Klay Thompson would be a limited role and definitely overpaid at the $17 million he's going into the final year with the Mavs. But that makes sense. Maybe a little bit disappointing for Mavs fans that you won't have a taker in the trade market. Teams are basically waiting to see if Klay gets bought out.
Yeah, at this point, maybe at the trade deadline they could move him if he's still on the team by then.
Alrighty, it's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah. 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 I'm still kind of frozen by Broadus being surprised that an 80-year-old woman got her wings.
I know, man.
You said what?
It's always shocking when an 89-year-old passes.
God bless that lady.
Maybe because I'm dealing with an 87-year-old myself every day.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
The goal is to get old.
Yeah.
The goal is to get old, baby.
I was thinking I'm going to be 75 when the next time the World Cup comes back to the United States.
You got to stop eating that crap.
I drink more water. No, you're right, man.
And get to walking.
Yeah, no, I've been walking a lot.
That walking is something else. When you get a little certain age, walking is fire.
I'm telling you what, man, I am so fearful of not being able to walk later in life or be able to move around. So, yeah, the walking, the stretching, and losing weight.
Stretching for sure.
Yeah, but the walking has been really, really good.
When I was younger, I just didn't understand. Like, my dad would sit me down and be like, your uncle had a fall.
Okay, had a fall. Bounce back
uncle
up.
He had a fall.
Did you shake it off?
All right. Yeah, falling's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you get a certain age, bro, that might be it for you when you fall.
That might be it when you fall. Life alert. Like that femur.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right, G, back of the day. We do it every weekday on The Fan at 5:30, fueled by East Dallas Motor Cars. EastDallasMotorCars.com.
Let's go.
Going for two today. I guess he's still our very own Mike Bacsik.
Yeah.
Former major league pitcher, former host here on The Fan, used to be in the G-Bag Nation at one point in time. Now he's a Rangers broadcaster on television. He'll do anything to see Wyatt Langford healthy.
Wyatt, what can I do? What can we do as Ranger fans to keep you healthy the rest of this season?
I don't know. I mean, I'm doing everything I can, so that's my goal. I'm going to want to play every single game for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, I'm going to go home and get on my knees for you because, man, do we need Wyatt Lang for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Wyatt didn't know how to take that, by the way. He was kind of like, I don't know.
Wyatt was like, man, I'm doing everything I can. I think there's really only one last thing that could be done here.
All right. I got you, buddy.
Oh,
we're going to have to get Bacsik on if he's not too busy.
Trouble him
for 10 minutes.
Man.
Post-game reflections about this.
How you feeling, bud?
How you feeling? All right, let's go to NBA Summer League. Looks like the Los Angeles Lakers have signed an undrafted 6'10 center named Robbie Avila. And people are having a good time giving him a nickname. Fantastic time giving him a nickname. Eric, look those nicknames up if you can, bro.
Oh, I remember this. The goggle guy, right?
Yeah. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was fun.
Is this Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah, yes, Kareem.
Shane Gillis. Alexander.
Holy
call
crap, he does look like Shane Gillis.
Oh, listen.
Avila, he's the winner in the nickname battle. He's been called Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kevin McHale, Milk Chamberlain, Larry Nerd, and Shaquille Oatmeal.
I love it.
Just outstanding.
It shouldn't get better than that.
That's good stuff.
Steph Blurry.
Steph Blurry. Larry Blurred.
Those goggles. Those goggles, bro. Are next level, dude. Man.
Larry Nerd.
Larry Nerd is great.
So I was on vacation last week, cruising through the mountains, tuned into a random sports radio channel that had your guy in Miami that used to work with Lebatard, Stu Gotts.
Oh, yeah.
So Stu Gotts is masterfully interviewing Ice Cube. Hmm. And he was saying, you know, he's in L.A. and he was talking about Big Three stuff. But he was saying the hot joke right now is that these are the Snowtime Lakers. Because yeah, you got Luka and Austin Reeves and
Walker Kessler.
The Snowtime Lakers.
Jeez, man. It's really good.
Texas Rangers broadcaster Matt Hicks joined the Fan over the weekend. Hold on.
West End girls.
I get sassy when it's come on.
Hey!
I get sassy.
Eastern boys and West
Girls. Oh, my God.
West End girls.
All right, Texas Rangers broadcaster Matt Hicks joined the Fan over the weekend and showed off his love for the native tongue.
I did not. You did not strike me as a 90s hip hop guy.
Don't challenge him.
I simply slid into
place.
He
knows all that stuff.
Buddy,
man.
buddy, all up in your face. Hey. A lot of kids busting rhymes, but they had no taste. Some said Quest was whack, but now is that the case?
Oh!
Yeah.
Mic drop.
So, I really enjoy.
Appreciate you, Mr. Matt Hicks. A little native tongue. That was De La Soul, I believe. De La Soul. Buddy, buddy.
That was legit.
He's pretty good at it, man. He's got them all saved up there, bro.
It was all that stuff,
buddy,
man.
Buddy, buddy, all up in your face.
Yeah. I like that. This isn't one at all. But Caribbean basketball, or the Caribbean, however you want to say it down there.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on during the timeouts, during the FIBA basketball games. Listen, it's just, it sounds like a fever dream.
Timeout, Bermuda. The score is 78-50.
Uh-oh.
It's a Donkey Kong video game.
Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, my God.
You know, driving through the city, honk, honk, honk.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, it was hitting all the drops, all the buttons. All the sound effects, man. How long is this timeout? 2 minutes? I got you.
Give you everything I got.
I got you.
Wow.
Oh, hey, Mr. Eric Nadell, Texas Rangers broadcaster, Hall of Fame broadcaster. Oh, there he is, Mr. Eric Nadell.
Way back.
Way back.
A three-run Jimmy Jack.
That ball's headed to Grand Prairie. Eric Nadell, he had a World Cup limerick that he hit you guys with.
Yeah, he sure did. Yes, he did.
The World Cup is now down to 8. Some teams we love, some that we hate. All eyes are on Messi. I'm just going to guess he is key to the white and blue's fate. 2 World Cups ago, it was France enjoying the victory dance. Mbappe's their star. They expect to go far. The French stand a wonderful chance. Who else made the semis last time? Well, one of them made quite a climb. You'll get a free taco if you said Morocco. Perhaps they are now in their prime. I can't get it out of my brain that 2010's cup went to Spain. But it now seems quite clear that to pick them this year, you'd have to be drunk or insane.
Ooh.
I think Norway's the biggest surprise. If you pick them to get here, you're wise. Although Holland's renowned, can they reach the next round? They're unlikely to win the big prize. I really thought that I would miss a chance to give love to the Swiss. Can they really achieve a World Cup for Geneva? If they win, there's something amiss. It was Belgium who knocked off our boys, despite all the Balogun noise. Yes, they stifled our dream with a talented team that showed us composure and poise. We should probably root for the Brits, the team with the white and red kits. If their star Harry Kane isn't drinking champagne from the cup, it will just be the pits. So those are the eight teams remaining. We lost, but there's no use complaining. We could never advance against Messi or France. Predictions? Nope. I am abstaining.
Let's go.
Wow. On brand.
It was well done. Really
Eric
was good.
Eric Nadel in so many ways.
That was long, bro.
It was, dude. It's
genius.
That man was writing that for a while.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, like, when does he have the time? But I was like, I got it.
I am off this weekend drinking some green tea.
The red chili poppers.
I will meet the team in 2 weeks, too.
Probably in Seattle.
My favorite band, Kitty Litter.
Oh, Tribe. Yeah. Okay. Tribe and De La got the buddy. And Tribe is on buddy. So whose song is it?
You know what? I Googled that lyric and it gave me De La Soul.
That's
and
what
Tribe
I'm saying.
Conquest.
They're both on that song. So, yeah. I mean, I like how y'all trying to call me out and keep me on my game. I appreciate it. But they're both there, so let's figure that out.
I followed up with Matt Hicks before, and he told me he was particularly a Tribe Called Quest super fan. I don't know if that matters
That's
here.
The native tongue, man. That's the native tongue.
All righty. Is it our current champion, Bassett?
Eastern boys and Western girls.
Trying to help out Wyatt Langford. Lakers sign Robbie Avila.
This is a toughie.
Matt Hicks, 90s lyrics. Caribbean basketball or Eric Nadel Hall of Fame World Cup limerick. Whew. That's tough.
Yeah.
I'll just go with Bassett. I feel like it's timeless, Chief. How about you?
Give me the Hall of Famer, Eric Nadel.
We are tied at one, Lucius.
Mike Bassick.
Zach.
Hicksy.
Brian.
Bassick.
By a score of 3-1-1, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. Boom. It's Bassick. Tune in every afternoon at about 2:20. If you miss the G-Bag of the Day, Lucius replays it for you right before we get to Woolchuck's Top 10. It's time now to stay in the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius in L.A. Live.
It's a Toxic Tuesday right after the Great Big James.
Alright, you squares, time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toast. Shoot-oop. It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
I just turned 41, and I love aging. Personally, I really love aging, because for me, it only gets better. Like, I think that people, so many people are afraid of that age, and I think it's because so many people live such a good life up until that point that it's like the natural progression back down, and I think that scares people. I have been such a piece of shit for so long.
Yeah.
We just started taking off.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to all you late bloomers out there. What up, baby? This is LA Live for Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. It is a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live. Welcome, man. Put your hands in the air and sing along with me. Busting out on the phone, baby. Shout out to the first time, last time, and long time listeners of this here station. LA Live is brought to you by Metro Flow Plumbing. Shout out to those blue collar ballers over there. Hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. I got a warning for you. I watched this clip over and over again. I've probably seen it 100 times. If you run into Mike Tyson out here in these streets or at a poker game or a blackjack game or whatever the case may be, don't mention his kids.
Uh-oh.
Especially his daughter.
Uh-oh. Yeah, especially his daughter.
If you look anything up about Mike Tyson's history with his kids, you'll probably understand why he has a sensitive spot about mentioning his kids, especially in public or whatnot. But did y'all see the clip from a Duel blackjack game? You know the company Duel?
No.
Okay, well, there's a company. They do, like, blackjack tournaments and whatnot, all types of all types of gambling card games that I do not play, terminus and whatnot. And Mike Tyson was there. He was one of the players at this Duel's blackjack tournament, and some frat dude from ASU was playing blackjack with his shirt off, and he decided to talk to, well, they were streaming, I guess, you know, okay, that's your thing. Okay. You know, these poker guys, they always look crazy.
Yeah.
They have the real strange personalities. Yeah. You have that one girl that wears her boobies way up here to distract people.
Oh, yeah.
She even shows me little nip sometimes.
She tries to distract people. I've seen it. It's a real thing.
Hey, look over here.
Gamesmanship. Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Well, this frat kid asked Mike Tyson about his daughter. It sounded like a friendly question. Listen to this, bro.
I seen it on social media. It's like you got daughters, you can't be posted up with those.
Maybe, hey, but don't mention my daughter's name out your mouth. Okay, don't do that.
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah, got you.
Don't mention my daughter's name out of your mouth.
Yeah, that sounded Godfather-ish, didn't it?
He's really like, okay, did. I got you. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe, hey, but don't mention my daughter's name out your mouth. Okay, don't do that.
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got you. I got you real fast,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That counts as a near-death experience, bro.
Yeah, I feel like I died close. Just listening to
you
it.
You got lucky there.
Yeah. that's a near-death experience.
I felt for that dude in that moment.
And he was probably just being nice, man. Hey, I see you got daughters on your Instagram or whatnot. And Mike Tyson.
Maybe, hey, but don't mention my daughter's name out your mouth. Okay, don't do that.
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank God he was sort of sedated by toad venom or something in that moment.
My gosh.
Keep him calm.
That's terrifying.
Why do people try Mike Tyson? Remember that guy on the airplane?
Oh, yeah.
They got beat to death?
Yeah.
Trying Mike Tyson?
Why?
I don't understand. That Canadian reporter that was talking real slick to Mike Tyson, he was passive aggressive with him. He brought up his sexual assault cases, and then Mike Tyson checked him. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear us talking to a rat piece of shit like you.
Come on, Mike.
Not because you're a piece of shit.
All right.
You really didn't have to.
We're gonna wrap up this interview.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
You could just hear the fear come over that man.
You can hear
the security.
Security.
You can hear the fear. We're gonna get the hell out of here, Mike. Wrap this up,
please.
Yeah. Is somebody gonna grab him?
Yeah.
Security.
Help, please, man. Yeah, I don't know. That dude just asked a simple question about Mike Tyson's daughter and got checked severely on a live stream. So I'm just letting you know out there, if you're running to Mike, don't mention his kids, man. Don't mention his kids. Just say, hey, man, I love you. You're the greatest fighter, and you're a great guy now. You come a long way.
Yeah, this is a sad story with his daughter.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah,
probably
really sad.
A soft spot.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could have been a little nicer about it, but it's Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
It's Mike. Hold on. Let me get this. Brought us, you might like this.
More 80s?
Yeah, something like that. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. For one boxing champ to another, Adrian Bronner, what does AB stand for on the fan text right now? What does AB stand for on the fan text? Floyd Mayweather said it stands for always broke.
Floyd would kind of know a little bit about that.
Always
about
boozing? That?
Yeah. Always boozing. Yeah, for sure. Adrian Bronner is determined to get back in shape, though, y'all. AB has linked up with streamer Dean the Great. Told you guys about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And that has put some money back in AB's pocket because, you know, he's got mad kids. He's got to feed. And he was always broke, like Mayweather said. But the streams have been paying off. Now, the streams are filled with AB just partying, drinking bottles and bottles of liquor. Freak maxing with ladies.
He's freak maxing.
Okay.
Yeah, just being nasty.
He's gut maxing is what he's doing.
That's crazy. Yes, he has a hell of a gut, but it's going down.
Is it?
It's going down a little bit. AB's locked in, I think so, man. Yeah, they're getting in fights almost, partying, drinking a whole lot of alcohol, freaks maxing with girls. But now AB is trying to lose that belly, Mr. Eric. He's trying to lose that belly, get back into shape, in some real shape. They're doing a 45-day streaming marathon. If I already started July 8th, look at that. He's still moving. Good for him.
He's still moving.
He's still moving. Good for you, bro. They're still going. I just checked it a little while ago because it's a marathon.
Yeah.
I checked a little while ago to see if they were still going. It's called the Locked In-a-thon.
Locked In-a-thon.
They didn't really like workshop that name. They just went straight for it. Locked In-a-thon.
This dude's just working out on stream.
He's working out on stream. The Locked In-a-thon, no drinking alcohol. They're eating clean and they're working out on stream. Getting good sleep and all this other stuff, apparently. Yeah. How about that?
So they're streaming while they're sleeping?
Do they still freak max?
in this situation?
I don't think. I haven't seen any freak maxing from AB lately. Mm, I haven't seen any. But I did see Big Baby Glenn Davis sit down with AB.
Oh. What's he looking like?
He's out of prison, right?
He's out of prison. And he went straight to Dean the Great and AB.
Wow, bro.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's looking okay, man. He's looking okay. Yeah. And I think he's wanting to get into the streaming just like Adrian Bronner. Mm. Adrian said he's not addicted to alcohol.
You know how to really lock in. That's real lock in.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can't do what I do to go from drinking every day for 2.5-3 years straight. And then one day you wake up and I ain't drinking no more.
No.
Wait a minute. And I just really don't. And I don't crave it enough.
Look like a couple of right, I can see that.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
It's hard for an alcoholic. Mm. Yeah. That's what I tell people all the time. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I just like alcohol.
Kind of sounded boozed up right in there.
Yeah, he was definitely. I feel like he's worn out from a workout because he was sitting on the couch laying back. But
see that. Yeah.
I think the addiction was talking to him right there.
Yeah,
might be a little brain dead.
You're not addicted. You just like it.
Just mm-hmm. like it a
These
lot.
These other suckers are addicted. You can stop anytime you want to, AB.
But there's the level of alcoholic that will start shaking. You know, like 10 hours after their last drink.
He said he has no withdrawal symptoms so far.
And those people with the withdrawal symptoms, sometimes that could be life-threatening.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me. My grandfather died stopping drinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to tell me. Damn. Yeah, grandpa said, hey, I'm going to quit drinking. Next thing you know, he was...
No. Should have been drinking. Yeah,
should have kept going. Shocked the system. So shout out to AB, man. I want to see him get healthy. I have been doing the challenge with AB a little bit. I've been drinking.
Okay.
But I have been working out. Like I said, I did the tour days last week and whatnot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's because of these fools right here. They motivated me. I said, if AB can lose that gut, so could I. And I have been. My stuff is nice and clean. I seen some Abingtons pop in this morning.
Abingtons?
Oh. Yeah, I seen some Abingtons. I was like, oh, there we go again.
Top two?
Yeah.
How many LBs have you dropped?
A lot. I haven't counted. I don't step on the scale. I just know if my shirt look good.
You can feel it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you feel it.
Eye test.
Yeah.
How many pull-ups are we talking?
I haven't done any pull-ups yet.
You got to build.
I mean, if you got abs, it's probably 15.
These abs just came from the kitchen.
Okay.
And then just, you know, doing nice little work, running up the heels and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no real working out yet. I'm going to start working out for real when I go to men's tea.
Okay.
Yeah. I need some help. I'm a man of a certain age. Hey, Spurs Thano, a.k.a. the Black Thanos.
Yeah, how's he doing?
San Antonio Spurs fan Wallace West.
That's the guy that took on everybody in
New
York.
This is the guy that went up to New York because he's seen those Knicks fans getting beat up. Not the Knicks fans. He's seen the Spurs fans getting beat up by Knicks fans because if you had a Spurs jersey on, they would snatch it off of you and beat you up. Black Thanos said, word, I'm popping up there then. And that's what we all assumed, that he was up there to fight Knicks fans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got the actual facts.
Now, the internet says that you deliberately put on a Spurs jersey, not even being a Spurs fan, just to go up and beat the crap out of some Knicks fans. Is that true?
I stayed in San Antonio for a while, so I do am a fan of San Antonio. But I didn't like the way the Knicks fans were acting. I don't like how they were treating the other players. I don't like they were ripping people's jerseys off, so I'm like... Let's see if they try that with me.
You were wearing a Dennis Rodman Spurs jersey. Is it true that the sales for Rodman jerseys has started to skyrocket since?
Yes, very much so.
Cut the check.
Good this man's got heart, bro, to see people getting jumped. It's like, I want some of that.
I love that.
This is what I want.
You go stand up for these people.
I'm here to get active. Yeah, this man was in town this past weekend here in the DFW at SneakerCon.
Oh.
He's getting booked. He's
nice.
Booked and busy. He's going to be at San Antonio's Mission Con.
Okay.
He'll be throwing at the first pitch at the San Antonio Mission game.
Let's go.
This dude is getting booked and busy for beating up people in New York.
Maybe Dana White should bring him in.
Every fan base needs a champion like this.
Damn right.
If you're going to go into a playoff series against New York.
We're glorifying violence right here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the glorification of violence.
This is justice.
Justice.
Yeah.
I like that spin.
Yeah.
I like that spin
like
right
vigilante.
There.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. He's a Batman,
He's
basically.
He's a superhero.
And Knicks fans had it coming.
They sure did. They were doing the most.
We haven't spent enough time talking about how poor their character was.
It was disgusting behavior. They're lighting people's hair on fire and all kinds of stuff. It's
well,
just ridiculous.
Remember, like my cousin told me, they're just not used to being happy. They didn't know what that excitement was.
Just miserable people that didn't know what to do with this.
They had all this energy. They knew something good was about to happen to them, but they, you know, they couldn't handle it, bro. Before I get out of here, because I'm really up against it.
And Frankie Valli working.
I love it, bro. Yeah. We're already having a hard time keeping THCA on the shelves here in Texas because the government keeps taking it away and bringing it back and taking it away. Do you think we will ever have some dispensaries here in the state of Texas we can just pull up to? Like the states that border us.
Mm.
You know what? No.
No.
I thought it happened by now.
Me too.
But the fact that it hasn't makes me feel like
they're entrenched.
It's not
man.
Going to.
They're dug in.
And it's a shame.
We got to win the Senate. We got to win the state Senate.
It's funny that you say the Senate, Mr. Dawson. The Texas State Senate spent 7.5 hours discussing the impacts of THC in our society, and it sounds like marijuana madness.
THC is a weapon of mass destruction, causing chemical injuries to the brain and the body.
There's nothing good from this stuff. There's no virtue in it.
It can cause psychosis and has the highest transition rate to schizophrenia among all drugs, including meth.
The frying pan and the egg. And the egg is your brain.
Oh, no, this is old school.
And then it goes in the frying pan and says, this is your brain on drugs.
It's very nice.
We've been trying to keep those drugs from going across the border. We'll blow up your ship out if you're out in the Gulf of America or Mexico, whatever you want to call it. Mm. And yet, then... Right, we got 9,000 stores that are selling something maybe even more dangerous.
No. How is this different from alcohol? Alcohol is, they self-regulate at a very high level.
I hope the legislature is going to be very aggressive, making sure we fill up our jail cells and the problems that it's created with Jeez. The people that are distributing this stuff.
Wow.
There were roughly 4.8 million EMS responses reported to DSHS in 2024 alone.
Watch this.
Of those, 0.002% were related to THC.
Wow.
Does she know what those numbers mean?
How about that?
Ridiculous.
How about that?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are elected officials?
Bro. It might be a while.
These are elected officials.
Some
speaking.
Of those are elected officials. Some of those are people going up there trying to convince the elected officials on, you know, they're lobbyists in a sense.
The lady that gave the frying pan and the egg.
That's
from 1978.
That's...
Seriously,
that was my childhood, too. It was alive in 86.
Dare program.
That was a commercial or something like that. Yeah, in the 70s.
This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah. Fried eggs.
Yeah. Okay. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I won't be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. Y'all be safe out there. Holla.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the fan. On a Tolo Tuesday, we got Proper Round Tripper coming up. Volchuk?
Yeah, everything you need to know about tonight's All-Star Game, and let's hear from the Rangers' first-round pick. That is next on The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.